Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 163. On this episode, Chris and I perform a cigar head-to-head challenge. Chris brings forward the Blackbird Cigars Crow versus my Aganor Salif Guardian of the Farm Night Watch. And guess what? You guys are going to decide who wins. Let's get into it. You say upper middle class?
Yeah.
I'm definitely middle class.
Well, yeah.
What's upper? I feel like upper middle class is more like
I think the ones
low level doctors.
Well, maybe. I just think the ones that get taxed like shit.
Oh, I definitely get fucked. Yeah. Hold on. Let's see. Let's see what. We'll see what upper middle class is.
Today with me.
Oh, I'm really glad I didn't. I'm really glad I didn't Google that. I put upper kidder class.
That's funny.
Let's see. Upper middle class. Let's see its designation.
Philanthropist.
I just want numbers. Like, why is there no numbers?
Soothsayer.
Oh. Oh, I am. I far exceeded upper middle class, according to Wikipedia.
That's what I figured. I thought if you were, like, over 120, it was, like...
Oh.
Like, higher.
Damn, there's some poor-ass people out there. I'm just kidding. That's fucked up. Whoops. But no, seriously, that's weird. Oh, wait, here we go. So, it's changed a little bit. I'm at...
Yeah.
American households were considered upper... Are considered upper class. That group of upper class has a. Oh no, yeah, I'm upper class.
Am I still poverty?
And that's household income, by the way. Yeah. Household income would dictate that we are upper. That technically, according to whatever this research is, Business Insider, that we're upper
class. Am I still poverty level?
I don't know. It depends on how much you make.
A couple hundred bucks.
Yep.
Like a year.
Yep. That was you last year or the year before.
That was pretty close to me the other year.
Hey, Chris, what'd you W-2? I don't know, about $1,650. Wow, okay, that's not bad. $165,000.
Well, good news, you don't have to file for taxes.
We feel so bad for you. We're just going to let this slide.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be some shit?
That would be some shit.
Oh, hey, look at...
Oh, man, you're all whited up.
Yeah, it's getting all drippy. And I've got it on my stomach.
Ugh.
And on this arm. And the worst part about it being, if you get one here, having a joint, so every time you bend your elbow, this touches this, so now I got it here and here.
Looks like...
Just started here.
Have you ever seen Dune?
Doom?
Dune.
No.
Do you any? No.
I don't think so. Like a sand dune.
Yeah, but it's a fantasy series that they turn into a movie.
Why in the fuck would I watch that?
I watched.
You know what? You know what I told. You know what I told. Lauren and I had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching. What's the show? The FX show that's really funny.
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. So I've been watching that.
Yeah.
And Lauren goes, "What possessed you to watch that?" And I was like, "Well, Chris mentioned it like a month ago." I was like, "But typically, if Chris says this is a really good show, I just stay away from it." Because I know it's not going to be my kind of show.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I saw another commercial for it. I saw like, you know, whatever, like a quick trailer of like an episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that looks really fucking funny. So I started watching it. I am hooked. It is fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
That show is so good.
Yeah.
But usually, typically, if you're like, I really like this show, it's a good show, I know to stay clear.
Hey, bro, I got some great animes you can watch.
Yeah, I know. And you're just different from me. It's weird because we like very similar to comedy.
Comedy and action.
I think that's where we collide. Comedy and
comedy
action.
Comedy action.
Everything
Anything
else.
Anything outside of that, we're different.
Yeah.
Drastically.
Like, I love... Like good thinking movies. I love mob and mafia movies are my favorite.
See, I don't do those.
Which I feel like you could just.
I like them. I'll watch them, but I don't like.
Oh, I seek them
I
out.
I don't seek them out.
Oh my God, I seek them out. I found out the other day that the creators of Sopranos and Goodfellas are coming together to make a new show.
That's cool.
And I literally, I was like, what?
That'd be cool.
Like anything mob, mafia, I'm into. Even the documentaries. I just finished a documentary. Any of that stuff, like drug lords and shit. Like I love gang movies. I'm just, I don't know what it is. I'm just into mafia being the best by far. Yeah. Because they're actually smart.
If you had a mafia name, what do you think it would be?
Me?
Yeah.
The Big Cheese.
The Big Cheese.
Yeah. Because I'm from West Philly.
See, my name doesn't fit, so I'd have to we would have to rethink our names, right? Because it's not Italian enough.
No. Definitely not. Well, we could never be like we could never be part of like the actual gang in terms of like
you couldn't
be
blood.
A boss. Yeah, yeah, we're not so blood. You have to be blood. Yeah.
But maybe like my name would be Tony DeGuda.
Well, you kind of stole my cheese thing.
Well, that was a good lead. There could be multiple cheeses. There's multiple cheeses in this world. Why can't there be multiple cheese boss people?
Tony Mazzarella.
Tony Mazzarella.
I don't know what mine would be. Honestly.
Ooh. I mean, let's...
How was there not a mob boss named Riga Tony?
There probably was.
That would be sweet.
He's like, God damn, they made a can of
food.
But
like
after
the
me.
People who are at the top, like bosses, wise men, like all those guys are, they all have, they just use the regular names. It's the guys at the lower levels
they
that
got the
have
nicknames.
They have the nicknames.
Like wrestlers.
Yeah. But less stupid. Speaking of, I watched Peanut Butter Falcon the other night.
Yeah.
Dude, it's not a movie where we necessarily collide on. It is technically a comedy. But it's like a serious movie. Shia LaBeouf is in the movie. First of all, we all must admit he's one of the greatest actors literally in existence. He's crazy as shit. He's literally nuttier than squirrel turds. But he's so good.
His last name sounds like someone trying to pronounce someone's last name, but in mid-word, they get sick. So it's like Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. yes. He is so good. So let me set the premise. Spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1. Actually, you know what? It's been out for fucking like months. So
hit
if you
that,
haven't seen it, fuck
hit
off.
Hit that skip 30 seconds a couple times.
Yeah. So the premise of the movie is Shia LaBeouf is a, kind of a poor dock working fisherman. And there's snippets throughout the movie that would indicate his brother has passed away. And he was close with his brother. So you could tell that he's kind of misplaced in society, although he's a good person. And he gets into some beef with these guys who are also fishermen. He sets fire to the trap, so they're like after him. All the while, in parallel running with his story, is a story of a Down syndrome kid. He's like in his early 20s, who is basically given up by his family. So in a weird circumstance, has to spend his time in a retirement home. But his, you know, his belief is like he wants freedom. Not that the retirement home treats him bad or anything like that, but he's like, you know, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah.
And so he escapes. This really old dude helps him escape. And so it basically runs away. He's just in his underwear and he sees this fishing boat and he hides underneath the tarp. Well, as Shia LaBeouf is setting fire to these traps, he's running back to his boat to get away. So that's where their lives intersect. So this Down syndrome kid is hiding underneath the tarp on his boat. He gets in his boat, starts running, and then hears him and is like, what the fuck? Long story short, they create like a really healthy human connection with one another, and he takes care of him. And they're like, they become like best friends. They become like buddies, trying to get away, run away from these people, but they're having like this adventure at the same time, which leads you to the end of the movie where it's like there's harmony and so on. It is such a good movie. Not only is it funny, and the Down syndrome kid is so goddamn hilarious. It is like the best feel. Like right at the end, it's such a good ending. And right at the end, I look over and Lauren's just like crying. I was like, why the fuck are you crying? But it's like that kind of story. Dude, the movie is incredible. So, highly recommend. If you have Hulu, you should watch it. Actually, I think it's like available on anything now.
I think that's pretty good, too. I've been watching Seven Deadly Sins. It's an anime. And
of course it is.
There's a moment where the main character takes seven swords to all seven of his demon hearts. And he's like a good character. buddy escaped and turned his back on the demon realm.
Mm.
He wanted to destroy Britannia. And his name's Meliodas. And yeah, I just saw him in an episode where he just like died. I don't know if he's going to come back. He probably will. It's an anime. But it was heartbreaking seeing this little boy. He looks like a boy. He always shoves his head in his girlfriend's boobs, like squeezes her tits, looks up her skirt.
And this is anime.
It's anime.
It's a cartoon.
Yep. But he's like thousands of years old, but he looks like he's 13.
That's interesting.
And to see someone so young die with so much power, it was heartbreaking.
Wait, he's like 13 years old looking and he's squishing his face in some titties?
Yeah, but he's like thousands of years old.
Hmm. And this is like your new show? Is this one you watch sporadically?
No, it's
what do you watch? Like, what are you into? Minus like anime, which is just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you watch that you're just like, yeah, this particular show is really good?
I love fantasy movies, man.
Hmm. Do you think there's some sort of psychological connection to that?
Yep. Sure do. I hate this world.
Yeah.
I would like to be in a world where there's dragons and magic.
Yeah. I figured as much.
Swords. No technology. Right. Outside of what the dwarves build. You know,
do you think that at all is an unhealthy outlook?
Mm.
Considering that the time on this earth is relatively short, would you want to maximize your reality or live in something that isn't reality?
Well, that's a fair question.
Or is your reality unreality?
That's a fair question, therapist. But what I would say is that I make my own reality. And if I could go to work in a full suit of armor and save like the hot ass girl that
you can
lives in marketing.
It's called LARPing.
I could save her from the fucking ogre dude that lives in the office that's always praying on her. Like hard Jeanette.
I mean, you could do that.
Go on a date.
Go to any office with a Chad or a Brad and you could do
that. That's true. They're all ogres.
Yeah.
Yeah. Modern ogre names. Yeah, I don't know. I just like getting lost, you know? I just like getting lost in it. You know, it's escapism.
You and I are very different in that regard. It's escapism. Like, I don't play video games. Like, if I do, it's just because, like, I've never been into fantasy game other than World of Warcraft. And by the way, even if you're not into video games, you play World of Warcraft, it's addicting as shit.
It is.
And you want to talk about alternate reality. There are people who literally live their lives through that game.
Yeah, people got married.
What did I see the other day where someone, it wasn't like a profound thought or anything. It's like, it's already known, but it's just the way he articulated. And he said, you know, there's people who struggle with social interaction in their life, mm-hmm. that don't have a lot of friends, that don't have good connections with other people, who could die tomorrow. This is what it was in relation to, like them dying. They could die tomorrow and not really be remembered by a lot of people, memorialized in any certain way. It would probably be a pretty sparse funeral in terms of attendees, right?
Yeah.
But if they were an important character in a game and they died, they would be celebrated. There would be a memorial to it. It would be this big to-do. And an alternate reality, your character dies.
Yeah.
It's this huge thing. But in reality, in life, it's nothing. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Well, there's a lot of video games and shows that depict the idea that we're going to come to a point in this world where people are going to find escapism through virtual reality with like sensory type of
for sure. Black Mirror's already had
where you can literally look and be the person you always felt you were internally or that you want to be,
right,
without the complications of being that in the real world,
right?
You know, like it could happen. Like,
but what's weird is it's just gonna be a bunch of ugly fat people with goggles on.
Yeah.
Meeting one another.
Sure.
There's still going to be a world in which normal life continues.
Sure.
It's just going to be a subset of people who now have created this alternate
scenario.
Like the
Matrix, man.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I would love to be Neo.
But what happens when those goggles power down?
You die.
Like, don't you think, though?
That's why servers need more than 99.9% uptime, because if it goes down, you dead.
What I was, so that it leads me to think, and this is like a, I mean, it's a weird topic for this particular episode, because it's just kind of like, do we ever really talk this deep about stuff? But we don't typically. But yeah, what I'm interested in, and like, what kind of, what are you setting up for yourself? Let's just say goggles on,
mm-hmm,
you're in this whole other world, you're interacting through the world, you're creating relationships through this world with other people who are real people, but also have their avatars.
Mm-hmm.
At some point you have to power down. So what happens to you mentally when you're no longer in that escapism?
Oh, yeah.
Like, where, how do you fit into a world and a society that is far different from what you want to be in? Like, how do you form and function? What happens when you have to go to work?
Yeah. Well, I think in in-game currencies, there could be ways to make real monetary gain to keep you making money while you're in game.
It's but you can't always be in game. You got to eat. You got to sleep.
Sure.
So what happens in the scenario of which that powers off, mm-hmm, and real life comes back to existence? What do you do? How do you function?
You have
you got to go to the bank. You got to go to the grocery store. What do you do? How do you interact with people?
Yeah.
Or do you not? Do you get everything delivered to home?
Yeah. Do you do that, or do you have these little pills where it's like you've got like a buffet of pills and you're in game and you're like, that's a big ass turkey leg. And you go and grab it, might feel like a pill, but you're grabbing a turkey leg and you pop that bitch and you're eating a goddamn turkey leg.
Until you find out that pill is heroin.
Yeah. Now, this is something that would be at least 100 years from now.
You think so? I don't think it's that far away. I think it's way closer than what we think.
I do, just because of the mental thing of it. Like, all the regulations around, like, what we do to this thing in our noggin. Like, there's going to be so much regulations about what we can and can't do with this thing. We start tapping into, like, all that shit.
Yeah, like Elon Musk with Neuralink.
Yeah, there's going to be so much shit.
It's just weird to think about. It's a little trippy to think. Who was I talking to the other day where I was like, don't you think it's fucking crazy how since like the 70s computer technology has developed that arguably the most powerful computer in the world, like what we hold in our hands today is probably a million times powerful than the largest mainframe computer ever in existence in the 80s.
Sure. Yeah.
Like that's weird that I'm holding what that is.
Yeah.
So to think that something like we're talking about won't exist in the next 15 to 20 years,
mm-hmm,
dude, I'd argue that it is not far away. But you're right. It's the regulatory process on it that may change the game.
Yeah. No, I could never live in it. No. It's just like an escapism.
But people will want to live in
it. People will want to. Yeah.
But you're not, because you have responsibility. You have children.
Yeah.
You've got...
Well, bring them in.
A job.
Bring them in. I wouldn't mind having a little goblin baby.
That would be sweet. Have them like pickpocket people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, boy, we made like 600 fucking gold coins today.
What's crazy to me is like World of Warcraft, I think, is probably the best example you could use, although not it's not fully immersive.
True.
Like wearing, you know, goggles.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a place where like people who aren't anybody in this real, like in this life, could be someone big in that life.
Dude, I was playing VR where I was just sitting in my chair. Doing space shit in Elite Dangerous.
Hood rat shit.
Like in VR, playing Elite Dangerous, which is a space game where you can be like a miner, like a frigate where you're like transporting goods.
Like a miner or a miner?
Like a miner where you're mining materials.
Not an underage child.
No. Or a combat person, like you're like a headhunter, bounty hunter.
No, that's cool.
And I had like joysticks, the VR headset up, and like I set up all these like voice command things, so I don't even have to like take off my headset. I'm like doing shit that you would say to Siri, but I'm like powering up and powering down my fucking spaceship.
Yeah.
Telling it to divert energy from fucking weapons into shields because I'm getting blasted. And I was in one for like 8 hours.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Isn't that crazy? And it was all immersive. I'm just
did it feel like it looking, wasn't 8 hours? Because that's even crazier.
It didn't feel like 8 hours. And I was just like looking around my cockpit, traveling to different like stations and like picking up goods, picking up bounty hunter like missions and traveling back out and fucking killing people.
Yeah, that's wild.
And like the idea of like you're flying in a cockpit, you're looking around, you see all these controls. All these controls, most of them you can actually do stuff with.
Right.
And I'm looking around and someone's trying to evade me and I'm like having to pull up my joystick to like keep on his tail and I'm having to look up like above my cockpit.
Right.
Just to like see through the window of the ship.
Yeah.
It felt crazy.
I think that type of stuff is healthy in moderation, just like everything else is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If taken advantage of beyond that, it becomes an issue, becomes a problem.
For sure.
Becomes interruptive.
For sure.
But I think like having the ability to do that, it's no different than video games now. It's a way to disconnect from having to do all this other stuff.
Yeah. With really no consequences.
No consequence at all.
You know?
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
It would actually be, I've always been interested in the VR stuff, but I don't think, for me personally, I don't think the technology is quite there yet, although it's substantially better than it ever has been. It's not quite there.
It's still
there.
A couple generations off from feeling really good.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's going to be a time where I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I want to do this.
I dicked with it in its infancy in the 2010s.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You had one of the first like popular set of goggles that came out. The Oculus.
I had a developer kit, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And I had a beast-ass fucking PC, people. It's expensive. Doing VR, it's expensive.
But it won't be.
It won't be eventually.
That's what's crazy is it won't be.
Yeah.
There's like, going to be a time where it won't be expensive
like,
at all.
Like a solid rig will cost you like $2,500.
That's insane.
With the computer, the fucking gear.
Right.
And then the game.
Right.
It's expensive.
Do you think there's ever going to be like a very popular commercial console for VR? Because right now there really isn't.
Yeah. It all comes to
like you have VR and you have the setup where it's like, okay, build this bomb ass PC, have a VR kit. And then there is PlayStation console, Xbox One console. At what point do those two collide? Where you have a VR console.
When they can better manage heat from your GPU, your graphics processor unit, and you can build smaller hardware when it comes to graphic processing and CPU and memory.
Do you think that's like an inevitability?
Yeah.
That someone like a PlayStation or yeah, Microsoft because, with Xbox.
Because even these are getting powerful enough to do some really clever things in VR, right. But they're from a simple experience.
Right. Not like an integrated game experience.
So the day we have these really powerful fucking GPUs, these graphic processor units, where they're as big as what we put in the phones now, for sure.
Dude, I just want to do Call of Duty VR style.
That would be wild.
Mm-hmm. Like, and it be graphically good.
Yeah, that'd be
and
wild.
Even put one of those little fucking treadmills underneath my feet so I have to run everywhere. Dude, I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, they've got these like weird, they've got so many different technologies where you can like do these like little slightly convex or concave.
Yeah, where you can move and walk on them.
And you wear these like little shoes that are like really frictionless type of cloth. And so you're running against a slight angle.
Right.
And you're basically just slipping.
You're like a hamster wheel.
Right. You're just basically slipping in this thing, but it controls your movement.
It'd be so cool.
And you can like duck. So there's like these bars that hook to your waist. So when you duck, they go down with you. So when it looks at the sensor of it being up and down, the character goes down.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, I would want one of those when it's more highly developed.
Oh, for sure.
Like, in 5 years, I'll come back to it in 5 years and be like, oh, this thing, not only is the pricing collapsed because VR has become more popular, but even from a technology perspective, it's far more advanced. There's always an optimal time to buy things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like no different than like 4K, right? Like, 4K has been out for a long time. I've been selling 4K TVs literally for fucking ever.
But you know what the trade-off is, though? This is the reality. You know why I don't think VR caught on in the 80s and why it's now just starting to catch on? It's not that VR isn't something that people have wanted. It's that people aren't buying it. So when you think about the idea of progressing a technology,
right,
it's all based on consumer demand, right? And that consumer demand's based on how much money is being pumped into that industry.
Yeah, but there's also
further advance it.
That's the catch 22 is you have to present something to the consumer that creates the demand. And then likewise, the consumer latches on and says, we need this thing.
Sure.
Like, we want this thing. We need this thing.
Promise.
That's my whole point with like 4K technology. It wasn't needed, but the industry said, wow, people really caught on to HD. What if we make it literally four times better?
Yeah.
It's not four times better. It's arguably, obviously, from the ratio perspective, is more than four. But it's 4K is four times the resolution of what you would get with 1080p. So the idea is we're creating something out into the consumer world that makes them want. It's just throwing out a fucking hook with bait on it. And that bait looks appetizing. And I want that bait. Whether or not I need it, I think I want it.
Yeah.
And that's what 4K was literally for 10 years. Now it's actually relevant because now graphically you can produce things that are beyond 4K.
I think pixels are always going to be an issue in VR though.
Yeah.
Yep. I think anything that deals with like standard light, like with projection in some form is going to be way better. Problem is there's no technology to make it that small.
There, I will tell you this. I'm a huge fan of projection, and I was told a couple years ago that projection was going to go away, or that it was starting to go away. And I'm telling you, it's such tried and true technology from a display perspective, and is so goddamn advanced. Like, we sell a ton of laser projectors, high bright laser projectors, which used to be super expensive. They're not expensive anymore. And I'm telling you, dude, projector systems are the fucking way to go. Especially there is screen technology that helps advance that picture quality. Dude, I'm telling you right now, there are some fucking projectors out there. Like, you just can't get some of that with laser.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
I feel that, man.
Anyway, should we take a break? We should take a break and we should get into this. We're doing a cigar head to head today. And I saw what you put on Instagram, you fucking turd. Because you can't be a big boy. You got to get everyone to do your bidding for you.
Hey, man. I exploited a flaw in the system.
You fucking cheated. But that's all right. You're still not going to win.
Probably not.
We'll take a quick break. Just a quick break.
Sure.
We'll do a hard reset. And then we'll get into cigar head-to-head challenge where Chris picks his best. I pick my best. We let the audience decide.
Well, let's just be clear here. Maybe not the best.
What best of what you had available?
Best of what I had.
Okay. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be back with you guys in just a second. Hang tight.
I am struggling a bit. I've been feeling really overwhelmed when I walk into the humidor. There's just too many cigars to choose from, and I never know what to pick. I'll get the hot flashes. My IBS begins to act up from all the pressure of it. It'd be really nice if someone could just choose for me.
Well, have you ever heard of My Cigar Pack?
What in the dickens is My Cigar Pack?
Well, I'll tell you. My Cigar Pack is a premium cigar club designed to cater unique packs to your door through an innovative platform that takes all the guesswork out of choosing those perfect cigars.
Right you are, Corey. They send you five individual premium cigars, a reusable pouch with a Beveda pack, and an add-on item that complements your experience.
You can choose from three different options, a mild medium pack, or a medium full pack, and My Cigar Pack works hand-in-hand with real cigar experts and manufacturers to design each monthly combination.
Yeah, and you can choose between their monthly subscription pack for $39.99 or a one-time purchase for $49.99, and shipping is always complimentary.
Visit MyCigarPack.com today to sign up now. New customers will receive $10 off their first order. That's up to a 25% savings off your first pack. Type in promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive your $10 off. Again, visit MyCigarPack.com and enter promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive $10 off your first purchase. Get it, dongers.
No, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's Friday.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's like a double gluttony night.
which not everybody knows it, but we're recording this obviously a little bit before the show comes out, but it is Corey's birthday. It is August 21st.
Yep.
He was born 1987.
A little baby.
Kettering, Ohio.
This is true.
6 pounds, 9 ounces. Came out real easy.
6 pounds, 9 ounces. I think that's inaccurate.
Came out real easy. Mom said, just took one push. He was ready to come out.
Yeah.
I remember. I just
greased the vag and out I came.
I was a little over one and I'm saying, who the fuck is this thing?
Yeah.
You know? And later I would find out that it would be my arch enemy for nearly 10 years.
We were like something out of a DC comic book for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, we've talked about this show, like, even in from a discussion perspective and talking to each other, like, this sense of chemistry was not developed early on in our childhood. It was more adversarial than it was anything.
Yeah.
So I think times, like, where this works out so well was development much past adulthood.
Yeah, for sure.
And not pre-adulthood.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just wasn't us.
But before I kick your ass in this fucking show.
All right. Hey, bring it, Kane.
I just wanted to sing you happy birthday.
Are you going to sing?
Mm-hmm.
All right, do it.
You got to clear the throat. I'm so nervous. No.
Not right?
No. I'll start again. Hold on.
Terrible tone. Start over.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Corey, my brother. Happy birthday to you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was some Marilyn Monroe happy birthday shit.
That was the intention.
Yeah, I like that.
They're real airy.
Yeah. Real that was good. Voice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's a weird, obscure year.
It is a little bit of an odd year.
Mom called me. She was like, she said something. She was like, happy birthday. How does it feel? And I was like, weirdest birthday year. It's probably the most non-important birthday year you could possibly have. 33.
Yeah, that's true.
Just so not important at all.
Thankfully, I got to experience it before shit hit the fan.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to do a whole... I feel bad for some people. One of the girls I work with, her 30th birthday was in April. Couldn't do shit.
That sucks.
I'm like, well, I already celebrated 30. That was great. 33, who gives a fuck? Don't matter if it's quarantine. No one gives a shit. It's just such an obscure birthday.
That sucks.
But I'm just glad to be here for another year.
Yep.
You know, another year's passed. I made it.
That's true.
And I kept saying for a long time, the years have gotten better. This year, not so much. Not so much. I've personally done some cool shit this year, but what's going on in the world's not as cool. So
I've just gotten fatter.
How much are you up to now?
I'm 180.
A buck 90?
180.
Oh.
Which is like an ideal weight for my height, but I have such a slender frame.
Yeah, you do.
That it just doesn't. It
shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be that much.
Yeah. It should be 180 in muscle.
If it was, I think I should be around 165.
That's pretty thin.
You think?
Yeah, I was 165 literally last week.
Oh, yeah. I'm like 6-something.
And I'm 5'10".
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe I just got to take that fucking donut thing that you put on kids in a pool.
Yeah.
I got to burn that away. And I got to start shoving it.
You do got to burn
it. In my arms. In my tits.
Dude, it literally... is easy to do. You just don't do it.
I just don't do it. But I'm going to start because after looking at that Instagram post where I'm bloated from having homemade tacos with kale today, I was like, that's not a good look. That's not a good look.
But who are you trying to impress?
Myself.
Is it the way you want to look or the way you want to feel?
Both.
Okay.
That's why I was starting to like change my diet, because I was getting bloated.
For me, I don't really care about the way I look. I'm married. Doesn't matter to me. I'm in my 30s. Don't give a fuck. How I feel is why I work out.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good. And yeah. I like being stronger. And actually, it's more the personal dedication to it than anything.
Yeah.
There's it's like the willpower to do something.
There's so much things I'm dedicated to, but that's just like one I'm not.
Right. Well, you don't have to be.
But it bothers me.
Well, then you got to do it.
When I'm like fucking engorged on food.
Right.
And you see me finger fucking my truck.
Yeah, that was weird.
And I walk around it, and I'm like, ugh. Like, ugh.
You got that
dad
that
bod.
Little dad bod going
got
on.
Got told
dad. But bod. There is way worse dad bods out there. I saw this guy the other day. You know that all belly look?
Oh, yeah.
The all beer. Dude, his, I've never seen such like a distended fucking gut in my life. Dude, it looked like his skin was going to rip. It was so tight. It looked like a basketball inflated to literally about to pop. Ugh. Like it looked, I was like, dude, your skin's going to rip.
Yeah.
It was bad. I'm like, how much have you stuffed into your gut?
Damn.
And you could tell the guy was not built to be that big. So he was like slender in the arms, slender in like the waist and the hips, and just like, bam,
yeah.
Just all up front. I'm like, you could get rid of that so easily. You're not built to look like that. You've pressed your stomach to the max.
Yep.
And it is rebelling. bad look. Just a bad look.
It's time for change in 2020.
I mean, might as well wait till 2021 now. I feel like 2021's a better year for change.
That's true.
I feel like we don't, like, there's not going to be any good outcome for change.
That's true.
In 2020. I think we should just see if we can make it past 2020 to see if you want to change in 2021.
That's true, I guess.
It's a real shit year. Mm-hmm. Real shit year. Let's get into the cigar head-to-head, shall we?
Sure.
Now, what happens if we pick the same cigar?
Then we need a counterpoint. So if we both pick the same cigar, one of us has to bash it.
Okay.
Which isn't great for a brand.
Definitely not. I'm on board with that. We can do that.
Okay.
I gave you a context clue the other day as to what I chose. So I'm hoping you didn't choose it. That clue was, do you remember what that clue was?
Nope.
That clue was, I've already reviewed it. It's already on our site.
Okay.
Clearly didn't resonate.
Nope. Didn't remember it. But that means it's likely not the one I picked.
Okay. Well, that's good then. Yeah. All right.
It might be on the site, but a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Then it's not.
Okay.
That's not the same. All right, let's get into it. Chris, I will allow you to begin. And here's what we do. So let's first go through the criteria. The criteria is what?
Maybe we say it at the same time. It has to be a Toro.
Plus or minus half an inch.
Yeah. It has to have a red label.
And it can't be a Crown Heads. Correct. Because Chris always defaults to Crown Heads for fucking everything, and I wanted to make sure that that didn't happen. And Crown Heads has a lot of cigars with red labels.
They do.
The other day, what did I count, like four? I'm like, no.
And there's a lot of Toros.
Yeah, that those weird Vitolas that hang on like 5x7/8 would have hit.
Yeah.
So sure. Making sure that it is not a Crown Head cigar. Given that, let's start with you in terms of what you picked.
Listen, bro. I'm going to be real with you. We have reviewed this cigar in the past, and I think we thought it was a one-and-done thing.
Okay.
You know? But here's the thing.
We reviewed it on the podcast?
Maybe.
Oh, I fucking know what you picked.
Maybe. But is this really a one-and-done for this cigar? No, bro, because I'll tell you what. It's like fucking Brandon Lee from the movie The Crow. You could kill me. You could send me off. It'd be one and done.
Dude, he's dead in real life.
But I'm coming.
He died.
But I'm coming back.
His dad's dead.
I'm coming back to fuck you up. And I'm going to make you remember me. and I'll get my vengeance.
But don't you think it's weird that the irony of the Crow is that he comes back to kill other people, but he actually died in the movie in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the outcome of this particular argument.
No,
dead.
No way.
Dead.
No, I'm back. I'm ready to fuck you up. You thought I was gone.
Dude, his dad's dead too. But they're both dead. There is no Lee family left.
My cigar. Hey, this is my 2 minutes.
All right, go.
You shush it.
I'll be ready for the rebuttal.
This cigar I'm bringing you today, thank you for those who have contributed to my selection. Let's keep our fingers crossed that we win 2020. Is the Blackbird Crow Toro. Grand Toro.
Okay.
So, I'll leave it to that. You introduce your cigar, bro. It could be whatever. Thing is I am unending, never dying. All right, you're 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to make this real fucking easy for you. You ready?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to take your little fucking feeble bird cigar.
Yep.
And I'm going to pound it with the Guardian of the Farm Night Watch by Agonorsa.
I almost picked that one.
I was worried that you did.
I almost picked that one. I
was worried that you did.
I almost picked it.
Obviously, bird versus dog. Bird versus man's best friend.
Yeah.
Who you choosing? Fucking Night Watch.
Here's the thing. Are you done with your fucking 2 minutes?
I didn't need 2 minutes because I already fucking won.
Well, listen. This has a Habano wrapper, all right? The Blackbird Crow has a Habano wrapper. It has, or I'm sorry, a Mexican San Andreas wrapper, a Habano binder, Nicaraguan Pennsylvania Corojo, and Criollo 98 fillers, man. I'm going to tell you this right now. You think you got a big dog? Well, let me ask you this. How smart is that dog? As far as I'm concerned, most dogs are dumber than a fucking box of rocks. In fact, they will eat a box of rocks. The thing you need to understand that this cigar, this Blackbird Crow, crows are smart, man. They're intellectual. They're sophisticated. They're one of the smartest birds out there. What do you got, a dumb dog?
Let me put it this way. Cigar names aside.
Sure.
Did you name one type, one component of tobacco that was used? You're like, it has an Ecuadorian wrapper.
Well, it's
Forget the fucking rest of it.
It's a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. I misspoke with a Habano binder.
Okay, what's the rest of it?
It has
bird feathers,
Nicaraguan, Pennsylvanian, Corojo, and fucking Criollo 98 fillers.
Does it? I feel like you're lying to me right now.
No.
Fact check it. Someone fact check this shit.
I don't even fucking believe you. This is a sophisticated bird, bro.
Sophisticated.
All right. Okay, you go.
Here's my thought.
Yep.
So, Guardian of the Farm Night Watch. Mm. Agonorsa.
Yep.
Arguably some of the best tobacco created. Especially if it's one of their branded cigars.
Sure.
Nicaraguan Puro. All Agonorsa tobacco through a line that not only was touted, hyped, has been just fucking incredibly reviewed, including my own.
Yep.
There is no way a Blackbird cigar can test the fucking testicular fortitude of this fucking pounding dog, this frothing fucking canine. It's impossible. It would be, honestly, it would be easier for you to concede now so we can end the episode at 41 minutes.
Let me ask you this, bro. When you decided to pick up this little doggy, how much did you have to put down to get it?
She comes in at about $10.
Okay. Not bad. Maybe not top of the line, but it is a... It is a representable, it is a reputable price, I would say. $10 ain't bad, right? You know what this fucking sophisticated bird of the night, the crow, comes in at? Around $7.50.
Okay, here is a counter argument to pricing in this.
Sure.
Agonorsa.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most reputable brands. One of the most reputable tobacco production farms literally in existence. Mm. Blackbird Cigar. How long they been around? Tell me, how long they been around, Chris?
Two glorious years. Three.
Not even that. About a year and 3 months. About a year and 3 months. You're going to challenge me with your prepubescent bird?
Well, let me ask you this, bro. It's an old dog. Sometimes
loyal.
Loyal, maybe. Maybe even a little bit wise. All right? It's seen the ropes. But you put this up against a crow, a young, vibrant crow, you know? The old dog always goes down. It's time to put down that dog, bro. It's an old dog.
Dude, crows are so irrelevant, people don't even hunt them. They're not pheasants. They're not turkeys. They're fucking mangy-ass little pieces of shit that just feast on dead small rodents. That's all fucking it. That's all it is.
Well, okay. I'll give you another 2 minutes. I want you to tell me, against my crow, what type of flavor. Because the flavor is the most important part of any goddamn cigar. I want to know.
What's
that old meat like?
What I liked personally about the Night Watch, which is something you don't traditionally get, in my opinion, with Aganorsa cigars. What I liked about it is it actually was very one-dimensional, and I will say that right out of the gates. But again, it goes back to those flavors that you get that are so pronounced and so good and long-lasting. They were fucking incredible. So there's a sweet tanginess to it. The Aganorsa tobacco, there's a perception created around Nicaraguan tobacco, right? That it's like full in strength, it's heavy, it's peppery, it's spicy, it's got those components. I think Nicaraguan tobacco has been kind of put into this certain category in a certain corner. This defies normal Nicaraguan tobacco, specifically the Nicaraguan Puro. What I loved about this cigar, and by the way, let's also talk about the construction. I've got a picture to represent mine. I don't know if you have that with the crow. I don't know if you can show me what the crow can do. I can show you the Night Watch. It is one of the most beautifully made cigars I've ever seen. Absolutely fucking incredible. Super dark, rich Nicaraguan tobacco wrapper. Beautiful. Band, by the way, way better than that fucking crow.
Maybe, but this ain't a goddamn dog show, bro. He ain't just a pritzy prancing in.
It is a dog show.
He ain't gonna be pritzy and prancing in around. It's like, oh, that's a pretty dog.
Hey, fly to your feeder. Fly to your feeder.
Well, here's the thing, bro. The crow ain't too much different. You know, it's a tangy, spicy, and slightly leathery. It's a pretty one-dimensional cigar, but it's got a lot of that oomph that your cojones on your fucking dog has as well.
The consistency around the Night Watch, to me, I would argue, honestly, this is, and I've got a review out there to already represent this cigar, is one of the best I've had.
While I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a nagging, as someone gently bragging at my chamber door. "'Tis some bitch-ass," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door.
That's the raven, not the crow, you fucking fuck.
Only this and nothing more. But here's the thing, bro.
Hey, Edgar Allan Poe, it's literally called the raven.
Yeah, but it was in the movie The Crow, too.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Brandon, you know?
He dead.
He said it.
All right, so I like how you keep diverting to how cool birds are. But let's do this. Construction to construction. The construction on the Night Watch, Aganorsa.
Yeah.
One of the top ever to do it.
Yeah.
I would actually make a counter argument to my initial argument. Here's this. Aganorsa, when they blend for other people, sometimes fall short. Sometimes it's subpar. Sometimes I feel like they're the whores of the industry. But when they fucking blend tobacco for their own branded shit, it is high quality, top fucking notch.
Yeah.
This cigar is so goddamn beautifully made. Again, I have evidence represented in picture of how this was. Did you ever get a picture of yours? Do you have evidence that you could support your argument in terms of construction?
No, but I would imagine this. I would imagine this with all sincerity. I ask you, my community, speaking to you, that if you were to go through your Instagram feed, you would probably see more blackbird crows than the night watch.
You think so?
I think so. I think so. Mm. And it is indicative of the beautiful look of that cigar.
You just mean an Instagram in general?
Yes, in general.
Okay. So let's talk about the burn quality of yours. Mm-hmm. In an honest manner, how was it?
I will say it was a pretty decent smoke.
Okay.
Toros will naturally, in most instances, burn really well. What was great is that the Mexican San Andreas wrapper is usually a very thick, kind of toothy wrapper. It had no issues with burn. Okay. Never had to relight it. Some wonky, little bit uneven burns here and there. But all in all, never had to correct. I thought the burn experience was great on the Blackbird Crow. Nothing to say. It's a little wild. It's a bird.
Yeah.
Sometimes you try to tame it, and it fucking pecks you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
But that said, he's my crow, and I love him. Mm. I thought it was a good burn experience. What about yours?
This dog was dog shit.
Oh, was it really?
Dude, fucking runs. God damn. The dog's always running away. Dog's always taking a shit. Get horrible run. Two relights.
Damn.
Not indicative of an Agonorsa cigar at all. I told you I had to be honest in this process.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Because I'd already picked the fucking cigar. I'll say this. Not everybody is meant to be the anchor in a fucking relay race. Not the best effort in terms of burn.
What was it? Just like abrupt outages?
Two abrupt outages, dude. And I had to run in this cigar, I swear to God. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I felt like I kept rotating it on like a rotisserie. I'm like, Jesus Christ, why is this thing not burning correctly?
Some people might like that though.
Oh no, I did not like it at all. I did not like it at all.
It's like the dog that keeps shitting in the living room when you're constantly trying to crate train it.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that right now, ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not well presenting and not well representing me in this process. But I have to be honest.
Flavor was there.
It was not. Dude, flavor was fucking incredible. Again, one of those cigars that's one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Which I'm always okay with as long as it's a good flavor.
One. Yes.
And it's like, it gave me everything of what I wanted. That's what I really like about the cigar. And what I like too is there was no disparity between, this is the third time I've smoked this cigar. Once in review, once through this process, and once just in a casual nature. Mm-hmm. And there's no disparity between each one of the instances of smoking it. I think that's what I liked about it the most. Is like I knew I could go back to it and be like, oh, now I remember why I liked you so much. So the flavors really, it had a creaminess to it at all. And what's weird is not present at all, that really kind of in-your-face pepper spice in those traditional mm-hmm. Nicaragua. It actually reminded me, so if I looked at it and say there's an original Guardian of the Farm.
Which is
great. It's a Guardian Farm of Apollo, which was co-created with Warp Cigars. It reminded me of a Warp cigar, although this isn't technically Warp branded.
Right.
It reminded me of that kind of cigar where it's just super well balanced. It had some of those Cuban characteristics, but it also had more of an upper level strength flavor in terms of that you wouldn't get in like the traditional Warp lineup or even the original Guardian the Farm.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was more there in terms of strength. It seemed like, hey, it's like the Guardian of the Farm, but just elevated in terms of flavor. More robust, more in your face.
I'll have to smoke mine because I got one. So I need to smoke it.
Very good.
I need to smoke it.
Arguably, in terms of the Agonorsa stuff, and I would say their own labeled stuff, their own branded stuff versus stuff that they produce for other people, which is very vast.
Yeah.
I would argue is one of the best.
Well, I think your cigar pick was a great cigar. Since I said something nice to you, now you have to say something nice about mine.
Okay. What do you want me to say?
I don't want you to say anything that is scripted by me, I want you to say something nice about the Blackbird Crow.
I like birds.
Fuck you.
Okay, here's what I'll say.
Say it's one of the best ones in the lineup.
It is definitely one of the best ones in the lineup. Yes. Between the Unkind, formerly the Raven, and the Crow are probably two best. And they were the two first that came out. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. I really have an affinity for the Finch.
I do too.
But in terms of some of the other stuff in there, in the Blackbird lineup, and it's not even take it or leave it. It's just you have ones that stand out versus the others.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
would say that the Crow and the Unkind are the top two. Mm. And I would say you could even interchange both of them. I think both of them on their own are very good cigars and interchangeable depending on whatever variants of flavors that you like. Yeah. So I do agree with you that they are in the upper echelon of Blackbird cigars. Yeah. The argument is, are they in the upper echelon of cigars as a whole? I think where you benefit in this is the pricing factor.
Pricing point.
$750 for something that is Toro is relatively inexpensive. I'm talking about something that is literally you're 3/4 of the price of mine.
Yeah. So I guess the question comes down to this, bro. What do we think the community is going to pick come this week? When this episode comes out, we're going to reach out to you through the Hot Ticket Podcast Instagram, and you got to vote which one's better.
Yep.
I thought it was a pretty good debate.
Got a little unscripted there for a minute, but we were both arguing the fucking prowess of an animal.
Yes.
I think, honestly, what we need to do is we need to get a dog and a bird, throw them in a fucking pen, and see which one comes out on top.
Lots of analogies.
So I actually, I admire your pick a lot. It's not a bad cigar. Really, it's not. Yeah. And actually, I like Blackbird cigars, and here's why. I like some of that traditional Dominican.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I really like about their cigars. Dude, such a departure from things I've been smoking recently. I've been getting fucking burnt out. Really, I have. I'm looking for something that's going to fucking tickle the shit out of my palate, and I haven't found it. There's a few cigars where I'm like, damn, that Opus X I smoked this morning.
You like it, did you?
God damn, wasn't it was good?
Yeah.
So good. I was like, oh, shit.
Flavors are great.
This Opus is
lots of little change-ups.
I got to go get another one. I really, really, really enjoyed the Opus. I actually may go grab one tomorrow when we go to Indy because I know Burns probably got everything under the fucking sun there.
Yeah. Well, it's on me.
You don't have to do that. It's not. It's your birthday. Necessary. It is my – but tomorrow's not my birthday.
But it's for your birthday.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. But what I want to do is I want – like that cigar was really good. So I'm looking for things that kind of challenge that. Some of those real fucking stagnant flavors that I've been getting recently in cigars. And maybe I got to get my palate a break. Been smoking a lot. But what I will say is one of the things I like about Blackbird cigars is it brings me back to the Dominican. It brings me back to those Dominican cigars that, dare I say, I grew up on. Dominican cigars was my first love. And I know it's like, all right, everyone's going to make the argument like Nicaragua's where it's at. Whether it's like Jalapa Valley or it's Esteli, whether it's down in Granada, whatever, that's great. But sometimes it's good to go back to like the basics in the Dominican. The flavor profile of some cigars that come out of the Dominican is just in my wheelhouse. So I will make an argument for your cigar and saying I love the Unkind and the Crow specifically because it takes me back into that Dominican mind space.
For sure.
It just takes me away from like everything I have sitting up there.
Yeah.
I bet the ratio of Dominican to
It's probably like 75% Dominican and
no, it's 75% Nicaraguan. It's probably 85% Nicaraguan and
oh, there's a lot of crown heads up there.
It's in fucking Roma Craft and the whole thing. So it's nice to have just a variance of flavor in a cigar like that.
And I'll say this in all sincerity. Aganorsa, like the Aganorsa leaf, I think it was like the white labeled one.
Yeah.
The
Selección.
It was the first one I ever had, and it was a fucking bomb cigar, man.
Dude, their stuff is just when it's their shit and they're using their high quality tobacco, it's damn near fucking unbeatable.
When I've gotten their specific blends. It's been amazing. It's been amazing, you know? And that was a fucking good ass pick on your part. Because Agronor says,
you know why I picked it?
Why?
Because it's dog related. That was literally it. It's because, so like you have the Guardian of Farm Apollo, which was the co-collab between Warped and Agonorsa, and Kyle Gillis has Cane Corsos.
Yeah.
I think he has one. I don't know, maybe he has multiple. But I have a Cane Corso on the way. And obviously I have a, my love for that breed of dog is, you know, that, I mean, it's literally the, think of how many cigars I have. I have a ton of shit in Toro size, literally between my fucking Tupperware and my two humidors that's in the Toro range. I'm like, I got to pick something that's, that I have a personal connection to. So I was like, I got to do the Night Watch.
Yeah. Well, I think they're great cigars, brother. Just wanted to
they
take,
are really good.
Just wanted
Very
take,
different.
Yes. Want to take a brief moment to just do a little house cleaning. Want to let you guys know, last week on episode 162, we reviewed the Mil Diaz from Crown Heads.
We did.
We personally like that cigar, but to see what you guys think, or at least if you're curious about that episode, listen to that episode or check out our website at hotticketweekly.com and look for that Mil Diaz. That cigar will be released towards the later end of this month or the maybe potentially the beginning of September, but we're going to keep you guys clued in on all these new releases that might be coming out from a lot of these brands, including Crown Heads. So stay tuned for that, and that's it for the house cleaning, man. That's it. But brother, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Cheers to 33. Ching. You look younger than you ever did.
No, I don't know if that's good.
Well, you're a handsome young lad with a good head on your shoulders. And those shoulders are very mighty and broad.
Well, kind of. Starting to dissipate a little bit. I appreciate it, though. Cool. Next week, this birthday thing will be behind me, and I'll actually be, like, moving into a new house.
Yep, and let's make it to 34.
God, I hope so.
You will.
I pray.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's a weird world we're in right now. All right. So that concludes episode 163. Great debate.
Yes, it was fun.
We'll be back with you next week with episode 164. See you, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video on YouTube. Look up The Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.